Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this third Sunday after the Epiphany is our Old Testament reading, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, verses 5 through 6, and verses 8 through 10. They skipped over those long lists of names, so that's why the verses were broken up the way they were. But the intent and the meaning was kept. You could put your own names in there, because this was meant for us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us hear verses 1 through 5 again. And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard on the first day of the seventh month. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And as he opened it, all the people stood. Does this sound familiar? This is church. Yes, the Old Testament church doing church, what the church has always done when it is acting as the church. We gather, we have the called pastor read from the Word of God, we stand to hear part of it, the pastor up here, so that they can hear what God has to say to them, to you. Yes, all this here is doing as the church has always done. And always will do until our Lord's return. That is when church is acting as God has set things up, has told us, like right here in his word, told us to do. Verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. This is what we do, what we have done today. The invocation. Calling on the name of the great God, our God, and the introits, the Psalms that declare how great our God is, yes, just like we do. Yes, and also the confession of sins. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Yes, with heavy guilt from hearing, because they heard, they read from the book, from the law of God. Clearly, yes, the law causes us to see our sins, to look into the perfect will of God that we have failed in keeping. Woe is me, how clear it is and how murky we are, how encrusted and unclean we are. Then his word is explained, verse 8. They gave the sense. So that the people understood the reading. Yes, the sermon, the explanation of the text or text just read. Do you remember the book of Acts, chapter 8, where an angel told the apostle Philip to head out on the southern road from Jerusalem toward Gaza? Here, let me read it to you again. This is verse 27. Chapter 8 of the book of Acts. There was an Ethiopian. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And Philip heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked. They used to read. Well, we all used to read out loud. There was no reading to yourself back in those days, maybe even up to a couple hundred years ago. But he was reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And the eunuch, said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip, beginning with the scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. And then they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And they both went down into the water, and Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. St. Paul says a similar thing in Romans chapter 10. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, like the Ethiopian in the book of Acts, or like us. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yes, but here is the point. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Just like Pastor Ezra in our Old Testament reading. Yet St. Paul asks, how are they to preach unless they are sent? The Apostle Philip to the Ethiopian, yes, he was sent. Me sent to you about 9 months ago. It's been 9 months. The preaching today. St. Paul says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Any of this is only by hearing the word. That is what causes anything to happen, specifically here, our repentance. Just like those in the Old Testament church on hearing their pastor Ezra read God's word of law to them. This is being church, hearing the law, repenting. We continue with our Old Testament reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. Wait, that does not sound like they were being condemned by the law. That sounds like gospel. I was wondering if you noticed what I said there. We are to hear God's word of law first, yes. No, this is not fun and games. This time is not for fun and games. This is not a time to pretend we're okay, you're okay, I'm okay kind of thing. No, God tells his people repeatedly to call a solemn assembly as church, to be church. Why? Because of sin. It's to be done in church, even today, clearly here, done clearly. That is what it means to be church, always. But it does not end there, though, does it? Thanks be to God for that. That is not the last of our text, that God doesn't stop there and leave us there. God's word is not just law. True, it starts that way. It needs to be first, but only as to make room, to prepare for what comes after. What the whole reason for all of that solemnity, that sorrow, that guilt, that realizing, that admitting, that remorse. Why? So that God can get to the good part, the gospel. All the families would get together, right? Grandma down to great-grandchildren, just to have the big meal on Sunday afternoon. But every Sunday should be a feast day. Listen to verse 9 again. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept as they heard the words of the law. With that repentance always comes forgiveness. Yes, the law. And then we are to hear the gospel. God's verdict of not guilty. Surprised? We should be, because we are guilty. But not if God takes it all away. Well, he has in Jesus. And we are to believe this gospel as much as we know that the law is also true. In its absence, the absence of truth today makes very little of either one of these, the truth of the law or the truth of the gospel. But both are true because of Jesus. We are guilty, but he took that guilt instead. And he took its sentence as well. Yes, it is fair, a fair judgment on us to say we are guilty of that, on us every day. But so is the gospel. It is also very true, and more so, in fact, but far harder for us to believe. And that is why we so often ignore and don't want the law. But if we ignore it, lessen its demands, dull its sharp edge, it hurts less. It might, for now. But then also our gospel is as shallow and comforts us far less. Then in truth, we so need great amounts of both, though. Now, if it is true instead that you are okay and I'm okay already, yeah, we're fine. Don't worry about it. All on our own. Then we don't need to hear to really look at the law, do we? And then, too, then we really don't need much of the gospel. Not the real one. We don't need to have so great a savior or salvation, too, as we are saving our own necks for the most part, sure. Maybe a little help now and again we might. Sure, we'll take that, but then we never get to the real. We never get to the real good, the great good. We never see what a celebration is really meant to be. We never understand. We will never get to see what God has in store. You cannot have salvation until first you need saving. Only God's clear and uncompromising law will bring you and I to that point. The point of being cut to the quick, as the old King James puts it, guilty, in turmoil, having a burning conscience, repent. Then hear our Lord declare to you, the very guilty, me, the very guilty, to me, the doomed in sin, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Yes, once your sins have been forgiven, like today, like so many times in the divine service, Sunday after Sunday, then it is to be a celebration, feasting, joy. Yes, we are to believe it. We are to hear and be glad. It is more true, truer, as it is everlasting. It is everlastingly so. The other is not. It is passing away. But the gospel and its celebration is world without end. Yes, we are to do it. Say it with all the church. Amen and amen. Now that comes at the end of the church service, doesn't it? The benediction. God's blessing for your celebration of his day. Yes, those words are the word of God too. Another Old Testament church thing. When I say the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. These words are taken right out of the Bible, Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. This is God's word to you, to his church. It is gospel blessing. Some places they put, may the Lord bless you. There's no may. It's not, well, if he does, or maybe he will, or you know, if there's a chance, this is the Lord bless you. This is the gift. This is given with those words. There's no chance it isn't. He is giving it with those words. when they say that they are wrong. It ain't in the Bible. It's God's gift. Not some maybe. It is true because God says it is. Listen to your good and gracious Lord. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The law is not our strength. The gospel is. The law takes us down and out of our own way so that God can give to us the real thing. Real joy from something that is real and lasting. Something solid. Solidly true. Not fleeting and not because of anything we have to do or rely on in us. No, but rather all because and only because God says so. The real gospel. And this is how church is done. This is how the church is made. One Bible reading at a time. One proclamation of the law and then the gospel at a time. What did the Ethiopian say? See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? The church built one baptism at a time by the very word of God. Did you know that Ethiopian went back to his own country and helped establish a church that lasted centuries? So come in with your sins on your sleeve before your great God. Tremble with fear. Weep if you have to, but then hear and believe the gospel. Then leave, because yes, all your sins are forgiven. And the relief, the gladness, yes, the joy that comes from this, our strength to go out there for another week. But today our Lord tells us to eat the fat and drink the sweet wine and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. Yes, celebrate. Can you say amen and amen to that? Yes, we can. And that is being church, just like it always has been. Amen. The peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen.